The story begins in a Washington hotel room in January 2009, where a secret meeting unfolded that would fundamentally alter American politics. As Barack Obama prepared for his inauguration, promising hope and bipartisanship, a group of extraordinarily wealthy conservatives gathered to plan what Charles Koch would later call the mother of all wars against the incoming president. This wasn't merely political opposition, it was the culmination of a decades-long project by some of America's richest families to transform the nation's political landscape. What makes this story so compelling is how meticulously it traces the hidden web of influence that has quietly reshaped American democracy while remaining largely invisible to the public. Think about it. How often do we truly understand who's pulling the strings behind the political theater we witness daily? The Koch fortune, paradoxically, began through business with history's most infamous dictatorships. Fred Koch, the patriarch, developed profitable relationships with both Stalin's Soviet Union and Hitler's Germany in the 1930s, building a major oil refinery that became a key component of the Nazi war machine. Returning to America extraordinarily wealthy but deeply radicalized, Fred became a founding member of the John Birch Society in 1958. His son, Charles, emerged as the dominant brother, absorbing his father's conservative politics, but developing a more analytical approach to free market economics, bordering on anarchism. At the Freedom School in Colorado Springs, Charles discovered Austrian economists whose teachings were so extreme that Illinois teachers who attended a session reported it to the FBI, noting it advocated no government, no police department, no fire department, no public schools. Imagine a world designed entirely around these principles. Would you want to live there? By 1975, wealthy right-wing donors like Richard Mellon Scaife had rebranded themselves from economic royalists into respected voices in a two-sided debate. These partisan think tanks introduced doubt into settled scholarship, undermined genuine experts, and gave politicians conflicting statistics to choose from. Charles Koch urged fellow business leaders to undertake radical new efforts to overcome the prevalent anti-capitalist mentality and develop a well-financed cadre of sound proponents of the free enterprise philosophy. His motivation wasn't purely philosophical. Koch Industries had just become the target of federal regulators. Between 1998 and 2008, the Koch's political spending exploded. Over $48 million from Charles's foundation, $28 million from the Lambie Foundation, and more than $120 million from David's Foundation. Meanwhile, Koch Industries spent over $50 million on lobbying. The Kochs maintained unusually tight control over their philanthropy, with David Koch acknowledging, "If we're going to give a lot of money, we'll make darn sure they spend it in a way that goes along with our intent." For 21 years, Donald Bull Carlson cleaned up toxic waste at Koch Refining Company's Pine Bend Refinery, while the Koch brothers waged an ideological war against government regulation. No one warned him about benzene, a known carcinogen linked to leukemia since 1928. Though regulations required companies to notify workers of abnormal blood test results, Koch Refining failed to inform Carlson about his increasingly serious abnormalities from 1990 through 1993. By 1995, Carlson was too sick to work, requiring weekly blood transfusions. After his death from leukemia in 1997, his widow Doreen fought Koch Industries for accountability, eventually speaking out, "You're just collateral damage. It's just money for them, and they never have enough. Those regulations are for safety. It's not to make your workers rich. It's so they don't die." Rather than accommodating government oversight, Charles Koch declared war on regulators, urging fellow businessmen, "Do not cooperate voluntarily. Instead, resist wherever and to whatever extent you legally can, and do so in the name of justice." Contrary to popular belief, the Tea Party movement didn't arise spontaneously. While Obama enjoyed 60% approval ratings after taking office, a small group with massive resources orchestrated economic unrest for their own purposes. Far from being a grassroots uprising, the movement had deep connections to corporate billionaires and conservative political operatives. The Koch brothers and their network had been attempting to build a counter-establishment since the 1970s, following Richard Fink's three-part plan for libertarian revolution. They had previously organized several failed Tea Party-themed protests dating back to 1991. Obama faced a new form of permanent campaign, waged not by politicians, but by wealthy individuals funding private field operations to undermine election outcomes. The Koch Network mobilized its think tanks to produce research papers opposing Obama's stimulus, creating an echo chamber through affiliated media personalities. Even seemingly grassroots protesters were connected to this ecosystem. Have you ever wondered how many spontaneous political movements actually have billionaire puppeteers behind them? As the Tea Party gained momentum, the same forces targeted scientific experts like Michael Mann, creator of the famous hockey stick graph, showing temperatures shooting upward in the 20th century. Mann soon discovered the ferociousness of the moneyed interests opposing climate action. For the fossil fuel industry, climate regulation posed an existential threat. Scientists estimated that 80% of their reserves would need to remain unused to keep global temperatures tolerable. Greenpeace research revealed that from 2005 to 2008, the Kochs alone poured almost $25 million into organizations fighting climate reform, three times what ExxonMobil spent. A Drexel University study found that between 2003 to 2010, some 140 conservative foundations distributed $558 million to 91 different organizations in a campaign to manipulate and mislead the public about the threat posed by climate change. The fossil fuel industry followed the tobacco industry's deceptive playbook, making doubt their product. Despite scientific consensus comparable to Newton's laws, the American Petroleum Institute and oil executives colluded on a $2 million plan to recruit skeptical scientists as spokespeople. On January 21, 2010, the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision overturned a century of restrictions, allowing corporations and unions to spend unlimited amounts on elections through independent outside groups. Though Justice Kennedy assumed that prompt disclosure of expenditures would prevent corruption, the opposite occurred, as more money flowed through secretive nonprofit organizations that concealed donor identities. This dark money eviscerated campaign finance reforms that progressives had implemented after the Gilded Age scandals. By 2014, the Kochs had effectively supplanted much of the GOP's traditional infrastructure, with Americans for Prosperity expanding to 550 paid staffers. The 2014 election revealed the full impact of the Citizens United era. The top 100 known donors contributed $323 million, nearly matching the combined donations of 4.75 million people who gave $200 or less. By 2015, the Kochs announced their most ambitious political goal yet, spending $889 million in the 2016 election cycle, a sum rivaling what each major political party was expected to spend. As Fred Wertheimer observed, "We have two unelected multi-billionaires who want to control the U.S. government and exercise the power to decide what is best for more than 300 million American people. Is this really the democracy our founders envisioned?"